stand on one leg?
Not very long. It depends what I've been doing beforehand.
I was listening to Dr. Michael Mosley on Radio 4 yesterday. I love him. He's really good. And apparently, being able to stand on one leg is a powerful predictor of dementia, as well as how long or how healthily you will live.
Oh.
So stand up. Come on, up you get.
Oh, no, I don't think I want to know.
Come on, yes, you do.
I might
up you get.
Drop dead here and now. Okay, does it matter which leg?
Doesn't matter. Just lift up one leg and stand. You should be able to do it for at least 30 seconds.
And well, you're not counting.
I'm looking at the stopwatch.
Yeah, but you've only just started looking, so that's at least... add 10 seconds to it.
Come on, No.
Have you done this?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
I'm wobbling a bit. I'm not feeling very good.
Right, well, the next part of the test, okay, so you can do that, but okay.
Well, no, I am.
Now, the next part is stand on one leg with your eyes closed.
Oh, I can't do that. No, because I have a problem with my inner ear.
You have to practice. Oh, well, that's really important.
Yeah, no, this is it. I'll go to one side. I've gone.
You'll be dismayed how quickly you start to sway. The test is over as soon as you shift your planted foot or when you have to put your raised foot down on the ground to stop yourself from falling over. It's a simple exercise and it can be your balance. You can improve your balance with practice. So, for example, he suggests that you could do it while you're cleaning your teeth.
Okay. Don't make it in tomorrow morning. You'll know why I've fallen over whilst brushing my teeth.
The importance of the one-leg test has been demonstrated many times, most impressively in a big study carried out by the Medical Research Council a few years ago. If you're over 40, you're unlikely to last more than 10 seconds. To get an accurate score, take an average of 3 attempts. To find out exactly how you measure up compared to the averages of your age, you can see the test yourself, which is on the BBC's website. The importance of the one-leg test has been demonstrated many times. The study started back in 1999, tested 2,760 men and women who at that time were all 53 years of age. They asked the volunteers to do three simple tests. These included measuring their grip strength, measuring how quickly they could stand upright from sitting.
Oh, just showing off now.
And how long the volunteers could stand on one leg with their eyes closed.
Yes, but hold on, wait. Okay, smart ass, you can do all of that, but can you put your hands on one leg, eyes closed, and your arms stretched out in front of you?
Sorry, can I do what?
On one leg,
yes.
Eyes closed,
yes.
And your arms stretched out in front of you. Are you wobble more? You're wobbling more.
Yeah.
You see? That's the hard part.
I didn't
part.
Say I was an expert. When the researchers returned 13 years later, they discovered that during that time, 177 of the volunteers had died, 88 from cancer, 47 from heart disease, and 42 from other causes. Looking through the data, researchers found that all three of the tests they'd carried out had independently predicted the chance that somebody would die, but the one-legged standing test had been the strongest indicator.
Oh, great.
It turned out those who did poorly, and they could only manage 2 seconds or less on average, were three times more likely to have died over the next 13 years than those who could stay standing for 10 seconds or more. Did you know that falling is the second biggest cause of accidental death in the world?
Really?
Yeah.
What's the first?
No, it's probably cancer, I would think, or something like that. Well, it's not accidental death, is it? But no, because I mean, obviously a lot of elderly people who've got weak bones, if they fall, it can really
be
very, very serious. So, but you can improve your balance just by practicing the one-leg exercise.
As I said, when I had a problem, awful, it was horrible, with my inner ear that went completely berserk, all the balance went a bit wrong, and I was told to do those exercises, but I didn't.
Pardon?
What? My balance went wrong.
Pardon?
Oh, is it Wednesday yet?
Explains a lot. She's never been the same since.
The Press Review is brought to you by BMW Côte d'Azur.
Now, starting with The Independent, the shadow of the highly infectious Indian variants of COVID-19 hung over Britain's biggest step yet out of lockdown on Monday, as ministers warned they could not rule out regionalised restrictions or the reversal of moves towards normal life, with pubs and restaurants reopening indoors in England and Wales and further relaxations in most of Scotland. Prime Minister Boris Johnson urged Britons to enjoy their new freedoms with a heavy dose of caution. New figures show positive cases and deaths from coronavirus beginning to creep upwards after a precipitous fall from peaks in January, with infections in variant hotspots Bolton, Blackburn and Bedford continuing to grow.
And in this morning's Le Monde, the French laboratory Sanofi has published positive results from a clinical trial on its main candidate, a vaccine against COVID, developed with the British GSK. In a press release, the laboratory said that trials had shown a high concentration of neutralising antibodies in adults of all ages.
The Irish Independent says that IT experts have begun a widespread audit of government departments to identify other areas that may have been subjected to a cybersecurity threat. The Minister for E-Governments, Ossian Smith, has said HSE backup servers are intact and accessible in a major victory for the state and governments over Russian hackers. But he said the National Cybersecurity Centre has kick-started an extensive search with all chief information officers and agencies across the state to hunt for the Russian mole malware from this morning after being sent secret information on what to search for. Mr. Smith said the NCSC has put out secret information to CIOs to tell them how to search for this activity on their systems. Both the FBI and the UK's National Crime Agency are expected to assist the investigation into the hack of the HSE's servers.
And in this morning's Parisian, outside eating and drinking areas across France can reopen on Wednesday the 19th of May after being closed for more than 6 months. But for most of the country, the forecast looks rather wet. According to Meteo France, rain is expected for most of the country, with the exception of the Mediterranean coast, where there'll be some sunny spells. In the south, the temperature will be relatively mild and is expected to be around 20 degrees in Nice and around 17 in Marseille and Perpignan.
BBC World Service News live from London coming up. This is the Full English Breakfast Show, 106.3 and 106.5 FM, and online, rivieradio.mc. So the meaning for boat race?
No, just between you and me, look that up later on. Talking about my inner ear, the only place in France is where you have a problem with your inner ear and they give you an injection in your bottom.
What?
Yeah, that's what happened. Don't ask me why. I was just in so much pain and couldn't stand up. So it actually makes you quite sick.
What if you have a problem with your bottom? Do they give you an injection in your inner ear?
Maybe.
Okay, it's all about face, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Moving on to today's pop quiz. Question number one. On this day in 1967, who were at number one in the UK singles chart with their version of a Four Seasons song? It was the B-side to Ragdoll, and it was the group's only UK number one for the Tremolos. I've just told you that.
The Tremolos.
What was the song? Sorry, was my question. It was the B-side to Ragdoll.
Big Girls Don't Cry?
No.
Nice Legs, Shame About the Fact?
No.
Let's Hang On?
No.
Oh, I don't know.
People often tell me this. Silence is Golden.
Oh, really? I didn't realise that was a Four Seasons song.
Well, there you go. Ooh. Do you know? Question number two. On this day in 1986, who started a three-week run at number one on the UK singles chart with the Chicken song?
What? The Birdie song?
Well, it had become... It's a Sunday night television show.
Agadoo, Black Lace, was it?
Yeah, but what was the show?
The show?
Well, it was... I don't think it was Agadoo.
The Chicken Show.
No, it was one that mocked politicians and public figures.
Spitting Image?
Yes.
Oh, so it was them, was it?
It was them,
oh,
yes.
The Chicken Song.
You
not
remember
Agadoo.
It well. No,
the
not Agadoo, song. Do.
That's horrible. That's really horrible.
Nearly as bad as It's Raining Men.
I feel like chicken tonight.
And finally, on this day in 1986, and in the same year as my last question, and on this day in the US, which female American artist started a three-week run at number one?
Whitney Houston.
Yes. And what was
You're
the
so
song?
You're so predictable. I put it down to your inner ear. Saving All My Love for You.
Nearly. It has love in the title.
Greatest Love of All.
Yes, well done. Now you have to play it.
Can we hear the Monks again?
No, we cannot.
Did Whitney Houston ever do a version of that?
Look up Boat Race.
Riviera Radio. Business.
This is a warning for anybody in the southeast of England. Potts is out.
I was lining up at a pub midnight last night. Fantastic. We had a brilliant night.
I don't believe that for a minute.
No, I haven't been to a pub in years, to be honest with you, anyway.
Straight down the Curry House, a bottle of Dom Pom in the Nag's Head, sorted.
So, first time since Christmas, pubs and restaurants will open inside, which is all nice. Travel restrictions are lifted, but it's very limited, it has to be
Get
said.
Get back in the office.
12 countries on the green list, most of which don't let you in anyway. So it's not also what is you can do here, but it's what is available there as well. So basically, if you want to go to Portugal, you can today. That's about it. One household from can come into your home as well. So it starts to feel like we're on the road to normality. Let's hope it continues at pace.
Well, hang on, because the Indian variant is causing a lot of trouble, isn't it?
Yes, it is in a number of parts of the UK. I think certainly in Bedford and in Bradford and Blackpool and other places beginning with B. So you've got to be a little bit careful.
I'd go to Portugal if I were you. Run away while you can.
I think it's nice, 27 degrees there. It's been an absolute washout this weekend. Absolutely rain, not so beautiful rain.
Well, I'm sure with your contacts you could swing a ticket for the Champions League final, couldn't you?
I don't know. Chelsea had a bit of a miserable weekend.
Don't quite, talk about that.
So they could do with a bit of a pick-up.
Yeah,
I thought it was a good cup final, actually, didn't you?
I thought it was a good cup final. Leicester deserved to win, but I thought it was a poor game.
I don't know. I thought it was a real batter. I thought it was, you know, it reminded me of the old days of a cup final. It was nice to see a cup final with the passion in there. I thought it was good, actually.
Well, they were deserved winners. It was a splendid goal to win the match, wasn't it, really?
True.
So, okay, markets, not very good last week, but we had a good end to the week on Wall Street and in London as well, actually.
Yeah, the spectre of inflation loomed large over markets once again last week. Risk sentiment crumbled for a lot of the week, certainly at the start of last week, as the investors reacted to a surge in commodity prices, higher CPI in the US, that pickup in producer prices in China. I think commodities were interesting. What a violent week of volatility it was. The boom extended, it broadened at the start of the week. However, there was a dramatic reversal of fortunes in the last two sessions as Chinese authorities hinted they would use their powers to calm the trading frenzy. Regulators have begun to implement higher margin requirements and narrow daily trading bans. Authorities could also consider releasing some of the strategic reserves to improve supply. In terms of asset class performance, yields rose, equities sold off. 10-year Treasury yield rose 6.3 basis points over the course of the week. S&P 500, as you alluded to, rose for a second day on Friday. In fact, it was a good session, up 1.5%, still down 1.4% over the week. That's the biggest weekly decline since the week ending February the 26th. Stock 600 was down 0.5% over the course of the week. Looking at a flat start on the European bourses this morning. Lots of volatility in cryptocurrencies. Bitcoin, I think, has fallen 24% over the course of the past 30 days on bearish comments once again coming through from Elon Musk over the course of the weekend and concerns that Tesla could sell down some of its crypto holding.
The old inflation question hasn't gone away, though, has it? I mean, it's still giving investors a sort of pause for thought.
It really is. We know rising inflation can impact equity market performance, can encourage policymakers to lift rates earlier, thereby slowing growth. Higher real bond yields will result in an increase in the discount rate applied to future cash flows and compressed valuations. We should remember rising input costs could also pressure profits, thereby reducing the appeal of stocks, which we know have already been trading at elevated levels. There are a number of ways investors can mitigate, I suppose, the potential risk of inflation. They can look at equities, for example. Investors there should focus on companies and industries that offer pricing power. Luxury is certainly one of those sectors with some of the highest pricing power. Brand strength certainly facilitates price hikes. Chemical companies, selected industrials, can also fit into that category. The sectors that really struggle with inflation are those that are highly competitive and extensively regulated, so telecoms, utilities. Commodity producers benefit from the underlying price rise, but of course have no pricing power. And beyond that, in fixed income, you can look at the likes of inflation-linked bond, floating rate notes, and also higher yield, but all of which are not a perfect hedge, and additional risk and factors, I guess, need to be taken into consideration there.
How very convenient. Look at equities. Third World War breaking out, never mind, look at equities. Okay, AT&T, a mega merger with Discovery on the cards.
Yeah, in talks, AT&T to spin off its media business and merge it with Discovery, that would create a media giant that would combine Discovery's reality TV empire, that's HGTV, which I think is a home improvement channel, Animal Planet and the Food Network, with AT&T's vast media assets that are acquired through the acquisition of Time Warner, you remember, back in 2018. So AT&T owns the likes of CNN, HBO, Cartoon Network, TNT, and of course Warner Brothers Studios. Discovery shares have been a good performer during the course of this year, up around about 18%, valuing the company at $24 billion. Of course, AT&T shares are up 12% this year, is a massive company. It's got a market cap of somewhere around $230 billion. AT&T has been restructuring its business. It's been reducing debt. It's been cutting staff, selling underperforming assets. The carrier's been boosting its movie, its television production levels to try and attract subscribers to that HBO Max streaming service. The hope is, of course, the deal would give the combined group the scale to compete with the likes of Netflix and Disney.
Breaking news from Andrew. Boris Johnson's announced that due to the new Indian COVID variant, people will be now offered the Punjab. Please start taking this Indian COVID variant seriously. My neighbour Corson, he's just been in a coma for a week and he's only just buried his non.
Yes. That is very good. Yes. I don't know if that is politically correct.
Oh, I think it's all right, isn't it?
It is good.
And results out from Ryanair. How much does a seat outside on the wing cost these days?
Ryanair reporting, probably less. There's been a quiet year for them. Ryanair reporting a full year loss, €815 million. No surprise saying it's been the most challenging year in the company's 35-year history. Traffic fell 81%. That's from 149 million passengers to 27 million due to the pandemic restrictions. But the low-cost airline said it expects to benefit from a strong rebound of pent-up travel demand through the second half of this year. It's looking to return to pre-COVID growth in the summer of 2022 as it takes delivery of new aircraft and starts new bases in Scandinavia and Eastern Europe. Ryanair said they've minimized job losses through agreed pay cuts and the participation in the government support schemes, which, while at the same time it said keeping its pilots, cabin crew and aircraft current and ready to resume service once normality returns.
Foreign exchanges, please.
Pound against the dollar looking just below 141 this morning. Euro dollar coming in at 121. You're going to get €1.16 for your British pound this morning.
Now, don't go too mad today. You know what you're like after you've had a few.
I've got a busy day at work, it has to be said, but there will be people out there enjoying themselves, and be interesting to see if they take Boris Johnson's advice to do it in moderation and consideration.
I shouldn't think so, should you? I mean, let's
face it. I wouldn't imagine so, yeah. No.
All right, talk to you tomorrow. Thanks.
Have a good day.
Hank Potson, Barclay.
On FM and DAB Plus across the Côte d'Azur, on your phone and worldwide online. This is Riviera Radio with the latest local news for the south of France.
Sarah Lyster has the top stories across the Riviera.
As France prepares to reopen terraces in 2 days' time on Wednesday, with the curfew being pushed back to 9 p.m, the number of COVID patients in intensive care across France dropped for a 12th consecutive day on Saturday, with the number of deaths also continuing to decline. The French government is to begin lifting some coronavirus restrictions from the 19th of May, with bars and restaurants to reopen for outdoor terrace service, as well as non-essential shops for the first time since the 30th of October. Meanwhile, Marseille has begun its citizens' clean-up operation in the fight for a city without waste. It began on May the 15th and takes place throughout the city, with 93 events taking place and at least 5,000 Marseillais participating. The operation will end on May the 19th, with the goal of achieving clean terraces ahead of their reopening. The vaccination against COVID will be open bar in three districts of Nice today, as well as tomorrow, Tuesday the 18th of May and Thursday, May the 20th, in order to encourage residents in neighbourhoods where the registration rate for vaccination is abnormally low. And the City Hall has set up vaccination centres in Les Moulins, the Ariane and Nice Nord. All adults can be vaccinated without an appointment on presentation of ID and your carte vitale from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. For more details, go to rivieradio.mc. And France reached its vaccination goal on Saturday, with 20 million initial doses having been carried out. French President Emmanuel Macron announced the milestone in a tweet that said 20 million with a green check mark, a number that represents around 30% of the population. No new cases of COVID were declared in the Principality on Sunday, with the number of residents affected since the start of the health crisis standing at 2,493. Two people are currently in hospital and 11 are being followed by the Home Monitoring Centre. The figures released come as from today, Monaco's curfew will be pushed back to 10 p.m. and restaurants will be allowed to open until 11 p.m. under further easing of measures, which will also include now allowing employees of the Principality to eat out with members of their immediate family for both lunch and dinner. This is in addition to Monégasque nationals, residents, students and those staying in a hotel in the Principality. In other news, Paris police have clashed with protesters defying a ban on marching against Israeli attacks on Gaza. 44 arrests were made at the weekend and one officer was injured. Between 2,500 and 3,500 protesters took part in the demonstrations. That's according to figures from the Interior Ministry. The mayor of Paris, Anne Hidalgo, has unveiled a plan which would see traffic drastically reduced in the heart of the French capital from next year. The plan would see the ban of most vehicles from the city centre. Finally, the French centrist leader, François Bayrou, has urged people to have more children, warning the future demographic of French society was no longer assured following the biggest birth rate drop in 45 years. The former justice minister was appointed in September 2020 as the head of Le Plan for the France of Tomorrow, which has called for a national pact that would include controlled immigration. Bayrou went on to say that the damage to the birth curve done by COVID was a problem that needed solving.
Riviera Radio, Sports News. Better get on with it then. Football, the climax to the English Premier League season is set for a thrilling finish after Liverpool closed the gap on Chelsea to just 1 point after a last-ditch 2-1 win at West Brom on Sunday. Here are the details from BBC Sports.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Hello, I'm Andy Barwell at the BBC Sports Centre. Liverpool boosted their hopes of a top four Premier League finish thanks to a winner from their goalkeeper in the fourth minute of added time. Liverpool beat relegated West Bromwich Albion 2-1 away. Alisson was the unlikely scorer. The victory leaves Jurgen Klopp's side just a point behind fourth place Chelsea in the table.
If a striker would have scored it, I would have said it was a worldie. So now a goalie scored it. That's an insane technique. Wonderful goal. Perfect moment to score. And gave us the 3 points, which is obviously very important.
Tottenham Hotspur boosted their hopes of qualifying for the Europa League with a comfortable 2-0 victory over Wolverhampton Wanderers. Spurs are now 4 points adrift of a top four place with two games to go, but they did move above West Ham up into sixth spot on goal difference. And Tottenham's interim boss, Ryan Mason, was pleased with his side's performance.
Yeah, it was excellent. I thought we controlled the game. Should have had more and probably could have had more. The keeper pulled off a couple of good saves. I think we hit the post three times. Mm. We also defended well when we had to. We blocked. We made it difficult for them. Even at 2-0, we were the team in control and creating more chances.
Everton's hopes of European action in the next campaign were severely dented. They lost 1-0 at home to the relegated team and bottom of the table, Sheffield United. The teenager Daniel Jebison scored on his first Premier League start to give the Blades only league victory number 6 of the season. And Crystal Palace came from behind to beat Aston Villa 3-2. Tyrick Mitchell scored the first goal of his career to give Palace the win. For more football news from the BBC, go to bbc.com/football.
BBC Premier League update from the home of Premier League football.
Suppose you're going to say it was all planned, are you?
Not at all, yeah. Not at all.
Schoolboy error by the West Brom defence. I mean, you don't leave the goalkeeper unmarked when he comes up for a last minute corner, but
Well, we did what needed to be done.
You did what needed to be done, yes, exactly. The semi-final first leg ties of the Championship playoffs are being played tonight. Bournemouth host Brentford and Barnsley play Swansea City. Formula One, McLaren's Daniel Ricciardo says he's excited about the return of Formula One to Monaco, but is worried that the race will feel empty this year. Monaco authorities are allowing some spectators to attend the event, which starts on Thursday, but there is restriction on access. Attendance has been limited to 7,500 people per day, with grandstands at no more than 40% capacity. Ricciardo, who lives in Monaco, won the race for Red Bull in 2018, but said the whole aura of the Monaco weekend will not be the same this year. Who's going to win then? Who's going to win the Monaco Grand Prix?
I don't know. I think it might be Verstappen.
I was going to say that myself.
Yeah, I think Max can do it.
It's all about pole here, of course, so whoever gets pole has a jolly good chance of winning the race, but you can't afford to make any mistakes, as we know. Cricket, Jofra Archer has been ruled out of England's two tests against New Zealand next month after suffering a recurrence of an elbow problem. Archer was unable to bowl for Sussex on Saturday and didn't bowl on Sunday either. He's said to be suffering from pain in his right elbow. The first test against New Zealand starts at Lord's on the 2nd of June. Rugby Union in the Guinness Pro 14 Rainbow Cup on Sunday. Ospreys were 42-26 winners at Dragons. There are two games in the Gallagher English Premiership tonight. Newcastle play Northampton and Bristol play Gloucester. Tennis. Rafael Nadal has won his 10th Italian Open with a three-set victory over world number one Novak Djokovic in Rome. Nadal came through 7-5, 1-6, 6-3, giving him a boost for his defence of the French Open title at Roland Garros. Andy Murray will not play at the French Open and will focus instead on preparing for the grass court season. Murray's turned down a wild card for this week's Geneva Open and is said to be suffering with a slight groin niggle. The 34-year-old is now back in London, preparing for the grass court season before Queens and Wimbledon. And in boxing, Tyson Fury says his world heavyweight title showdown with Anthony Joshua will take place in Saudi Arabia on the 14th of August. The fight has been billed as one of the biggest in heavyweight boxing for decades, and the winner will become undisputed champion. It's the first time in history that all four belts will be contested in a heavyweight fight. In a tweet last night, Fury said, "The eyes of the world will be on the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and I can't wait to smash Anthony Joshua on the biggest stage of all time." Neither of the promoters, Eddie Hearn or Bob Arum, have officially confirmed that the fight will take place.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine.
For coastal areas up to 20 miles offshore the Almaraz Seam and the Var, the general situation is a depression 1,005 millibars over the Ligurian Sea and an anticyclone 1,023 millibars over the Azores, with a ridge extending over Spain and southwestern France. Winds are west-southwesterly, force 6 to 7. The sea is moderate to rough. Visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Saint-Jean-Cap-Ferrat, 1,006 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, clear skies, force 4 to 6, southwesterly winds, moderate seas and good visibility. For North Corsica, gale warnings in force, winds west-southwesterly, force 7 to severe gale 9. The sea is very rough, visibility is good. Barometric pressure at Cap Corse, 1,006 millibars. And the outlook for Tuesday, clear skies, force 6 to gale, force 8, west-southwesterly winds, rough seas and good visibility.
The weather forecast, brought to you by Accelerate Marine. For enhanced, high-performing connectivity on board your yacht, speak to our expert team today about our VSAT and 4G packages. Visit connectmyyacht.com.
Riviera Radio. Weather.
What was that?
I don't know.
Sounded like the Cannonball Express.
something going through
a
tunnel.
To do with Formula One, I think.
Oh, really? Well, yeah. They have blocked our view, haven't they?
Yes.
They're all set up out there.
Mainly fine, but we've got that moderate to strong westerly wind back today. Top temperature 23 or 24 degrees. Overnight lows 14 or 15 degrees with clear skies. Tuesday and Wednesday, mainly fine and continuing to be windy. Highs of 21 to 23 degrees. And will it, won't it rain on Grand Prix Sunday? We have this conversation every year. At the moment, fingers crossed, it looks good. Probably put the kiss of death on that, though, finally.
If you want to beat the British weather, which may not be our problem, put up a pod. Forget pizza ovens and fire pits. Invite your chums round to chill out with a glamorous garden igloo. Forget the fancy barbecue or outdoor sofa. This year's must-have garden accessory in the UK is a pod. It's designed to keep out summer showers and breezes, but let in the sunlight. Garden pods or igloos promise to transform your standard lawn into a Riviera terrace.
You might as well just sit inside.
And customers appear willing to spend a considerable sums on them. The shelters can cost anything from £400 at the bottom end of the market, all the way up to deluxe pods with sliding doors and Bluetooth speakers, which will set you back an eye-watering £24,000. And John Lewis has seen a boom in demand for its small range of expensive pods, which includes one with the price tag of £23,995. Well, I wouldn't pay that much for a Wendy house. That's basically what it is.
If you're going to spend £24,000, you might as well build a conservatory, honestly.
It does look like a Wendy house.
And it's to let in the sunlight, but if it's sunny, then you don't need to sit in a pod, do you?
True. It's to stop the breeze and the... Well, it might, you know, that when it's sunny and showers. And...
Snowflakes, honestly.